coming to you from Orange County, California. This is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
I think what we have to do first is make some kind of criteria. Because people always want to make up just their own shit. Criteria number one has to be that it was in
a meet.
Yes, it's competition. It's things related to the competition.
Sport.
Yes.
The word sport applies there because you have to actually have done it in a competition.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's criteria, most important criteria for sure. Then that's sort of the historical significance of it.
I can agree with that.
This belt is very uncomfortable on my hips. Childbearing hips. Just start with the one that's most apparent. It just finished happening.
Oh.
We had incredibly accurate predictions.
Extremely. We called the total right off the bat.
We did. Exactly right on the total. Before
1,100 kilos for Thor.
Yeah. And he's probably, I guess we're going in no specific order, but he's going to be number one. Sorry, Arnold Strongman Champion, World Strongest Man, Europe Strongest Man, and the Dubai.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a really big one. Now I'm not.
It seems like everything big is in Dubai now.
Yeah.
Like, or Dubai has all these huge competitions now, so.
They have a lot of money, I don't know if you've heard.
They just pump it out of the ground, right?
Yeah.
It's all tourism though now.
Oh yeah?
That's the big industry.
For people to go see all their money?
Strength tourism and CrossFit tourism. Yeah. I mean, we were off on the squat for sure by a couple kilos. And the 460 probably was good. Obviously, in the meet, didn't count. But, I mean, an old weightlifting coach once told me that the best, or that a close miss is two red lights. So I would say, you know, 460 was basically there, but obviously in the meet didn't count, so 440, the 250 was for sure the most surprising part of that, though.
Yeah.
I did not expect the 250, but it was hard. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was a big lift for sure.
Yeah, our prediction had been 430, 240, 440.
440, yeah.
And he went 440, 250, 410.
Yeah.
So he got there a little bit different way than we predicted, but
being that the total lift is the only one that matters,
it is.
I would say it was a pretty good call.
It was very strong predictive abilities. And this goes to what we were talking about the other night.
Yeah.
No one ever lives up to expectations.
No. My dad's been saying that to me for years.
But yeah, it's like, it was crazy as we got talking about it. Like, you know, I mean, the Thor thing is so speculative because there's no other results to be based off of it.
Yeah.
But we even fell into the same trap ourselves when we did
the
445 training. They're like, oh, okay, change of prediction.
Yeah, he's going to do it way bigger.
Yeah. And everyone thinks, you know, whether it's Thor or it's whoever your favorite lifter is or people on our team or whatever, like, if you're predicting numbers a year in the future, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is, like, everyone's always overshooting those predictions.
Yeah.
And maybe it's, at least with people on our own team or people that you're fans of and stuff, it's like, maybe it's bias. Maybe it's a lack of, so maybe it's like a lack of objectivity in the predictions, but maybe it's just, it's just so
hard. It's wishful thinking, too. It's like, especially when it's your own lifter, you really want them or you're a fan of them. It's like, you really want them to do well. So you're always thinking like, oh, this guy, girl is going to fucking kill it this meet. Or whatever, and like, the time they do something right and it looks easy, especially in weightlifting, because it looks easy, it's like, oh, you got 10 kilos more, but no, that's like the peak of your abilities, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I can see where it goes astray a lot, but it is kind of shocking. We're talking about being like pretty much universal. It's like, have we found any one person that's like every time lived up to, or at any one time lived up to their absolute potential? They hit the absolute best they could do. There's probably some dude in like the fucking J session of the AO1 that's like fucking killed it and had 6 for 6 day peak of his possible abilities, and that's it.
But yeah, when you really stop and think in big competitions, the stuff that matters, how many times people go 9 for 9 or 6 for 6, you know, like they couldn't have done any more. That was the best they could have done. And maybe they have one lift like that, or two lifts like that even. But that really started to jump out to me, not this past US Open, but the one before, the first one that was like really big.
And the fairgrounds?
The fairgrounds one. That the end result became very underwhelming.
Yeah,
it was Ben Pollock won, and
it just wasn't like, because you're sitting there thinking, like, there's the hype, right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, okay, like, these guys are all going to perform great. But the reality is that they all performed okay, but, like, it wasn't like, seven guys all having like the meat of their life, you know? And a lot of cases, especially in powerlifting, it seems like a lot of cases, it's like this huge run up to it, and then somebody gets hurt like the day before the meet or a week out or whatever it is, and then it's kind of like some other guy walks away with it, you know?
I think powerlifting too, for the bigger guys, adds that extra element of at least margin for error.
Yeah,
but the attempts, there's such bigger jumps between attempts that if you're taking, you know, a 30 kilo jump in the squat, well, if you would have taken 25 kilo jump, maybe you made it and it was this amazing day, but 30 wasn't quite right.
Especially terrible.
This is a pretty pretty nice feeling piece of machinery here.
Yeah.
So yeah, all right, so we're definitely agreed that Thor, if we were giving like a Jug Life Man of the Year, Person of the Year type of award, Strength Sportsman
Man of the Year. Who's the strength sportman?
It's gotta be Thor.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So, man. 1,100 kilo powerlifting total, 4 biggest strongman contests. That's pretty tough to beat.
Yeah.
Then, what up for weightlifting? What do you think is the biggest? Is there really a standout individual?
The only standout performance, I think, for any weightlifter is Muradi. The Iranian in 94, broke the old, well, no, wasn't that 17 he broke the snatch record in Anaheim? It's been so, time flies so fast, but he broke records and dominated again at Worlds this year. But I mean, no one else was like, Lasha was great, but it wasn't any better than last year. In fact, it was lower.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a, you know.
Lasha is a victim of his own success.
Yeah.
In that regard, it's like, well, and that's like a frustrating thing as a fan.
Yeah.
As maybe a more savvy or experienced fan and someone who's been in doing those kind of really high numbers.
Yeah.
That it's easy for a commenter on the internet to be like, oh, he had a shitty meet.
Yeah. And he actually did really, really big numbers.
Like, well, I'm sorry they only snatched 217?
217.
So I only did 217 instead of 225.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I heard someone talking about that in regards to boxing the other day.
Oh, really?
Like, they were comparing like boxing and football. It's like, you know, if you're the fifth best wide receiver in the NFL, everyone thinks like you're the fucking stud. Right. But if you're the fifth best heavyweight boxer in the world,
you're
it's like, that guy's a bum.
He's a nobody. He's never going anywhere. He's number five on the list.
Because he's not the champion.
In the immortal words of Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last. Yeah. Pretty much it.
Yeah, I don't think there was not really incredible standout individual performances in weightlifting.
There wasn't anything. Yeah.
So the story for weightlifting, maybe a good story and a bad story, or a good story and a gray area story, is going to be, what are they really doing with the drug testing stuff? Like, Ilya gets reinstated. Cool as a fan.
Yeah.
Of watching weightlifting for the next 2 years. Maybe not great as a fan of wanting to watch weightlifting for more than the next 2 years. Russia being reinstated.
Yeah.
Turkmenistan.
Lifting while they're still banned.
Yeah.
They had that 45 and that was like, the whole 45 kilo thing was like, girl makes misses lifts, turned down, judge, jury situation, then the next day gets the lift in the record, but
someone has a new golden barbell under their Christmas tree.
A Turkmenistan branded, like monogrammed, like case for it, a little mahogany box or the barbell. But that whole thing is just like total disregard for the sport and the future of it. And so that's, that's the shitty side of it, obviously. The good side, weightlifting.
Well, at least interesting side. I mean, the new weight classes, new Olympic qualification has got to be that's a significant story.
I wouldn't say it's good. Yeah, it's just a change.
They did a terrible job of picking the new weight classes. Yeah. And
well, they had some great numbers at first.
Yeah.
There was some really, it was a really cool one. Like the first couple that came out were good.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they're like, oh, this is going to be it, it changes to the fucking shittiest numbers. It's like someone was like, the last minute was like, you know what? These are pretty good, but I'm going to fuck it up right now. And just changed everything a couple kilos and basically made the bizarrest classes you can get.
But you know what they did to make up for that? Was make a very straightforward, easy to understand, uncorruptible system for Olympic qualification.
Roby Bucks?
Oh, wait. In fact, they made the shittiest, most convoluted, confusing system that no one... Does anyone understand it?
Is there
someone who has a PhD in weightlifting qualifying-ology? Because that's what you would fucking need.
It's so bad.
To know how one goes to the Olympics.
Right. Well, I wonder how much of that is influenced by whatever corrupt deal is going on to say, hey, we'll make some fucking system that you can exploit some way, shape, or form and get your people in, But I guess it's probably not that big a deal because the countries that are all in that vein, all the corrupt countries, they all have one spot anyways, and they're all good enough to make the teams, like to make the qualifying. So like, the Roby system is like just this bizarre, like, it totally reminds me of, Roby system reminds me of like when you like, go to like a Safeway or something, you get like the shopper's cards and it has like Roby bucks on it or something. And it's like this conversion to a dollar. It's valueless. First of all, it has no value outside of the IWF. So you can't use it to measure anything. It's just this like arbitrary number that's used to basically, cause confusion.
Yeah, Shroot bucks and Stanley Nichols.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the story you heard about the weight class?
I heard that apparently when they voted on the weight classes, there was a deal where they basically like
emphasis on deal.
Yeah, they show up, they have all this meeting at a competition, and then at the end they like vote on this. Here's the numbers we're going to do based on the scientific committee. So the weight classes are set. Then out of nowhere, all these African coaches are there, all these other people are there to vote, and they all change their vote to change the weight classes. And the story I've heard is that Qatar basically paid these coaches to come and vote so that they could change the classes to something that was beneficial for Qatar, because they've got one really good 96 kilo, or he was 94 kilo lifter, and they didn't want him excluded or to have to make him go up or down a weight class. So
that is interesting because they were so definitive about we're going to punish the 94s, right? Which was fucking stupid anyways because it's not like corruption is unique to a body weight.
Only fat people commit crimes.
Yeah. Are you a stock market newcomer looking to invest for the first time but are too intimidated to jump into the market? Well, then Robinhood is for you. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy, with a simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. You can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. They have easy-to-understand charts and market data. You can place a trade in just 4 taps on your phone. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track favorite companies with your personalized news feed, custom notifications for price movements, so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of The Jug Life a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at juglife.robinhood.com. That's juglife.robinhood.com.
They made all this big deal about how they're gonna punish the 94 kilo competitors.
Yeah, the whole class is out of the Olympics. Somehow that makes it like that. Oh, we're not gonna have any 94 kilo drug cheats. Well, yes, you won't. But also, that doesn't mean anything, right?
Yeah, but they made all that public, public shit about how they were gonna do that, and they just didn't fucking do it. Unless in their mind somehow. Like, the 89s, those are probably the guys who used to be the 94s.
It's the guys that are going up to 94. It's always the guys going up that are cheating. People that are coming down, it's not them.
Yeah, that whole thing is just so, indicative
totally insane.
Of how business is done, IWF, IOC.
It's fucking sad because that's the kind of shit that, that's really the kind of shit that ruins it. Where it's like, so what? So what? And you know, the reality is the IWF may not have been able to do anything about that. Because if it was a situation where a country paid other people to vote in a certain favor, you can't stop that. But they could have set it up where there is no vote. It's just scientific, the scientific board comes out, here's what it is. Ion says, no, these are the weight classes. I don't know. To be fair, I guess that is probably more a case of just the wrong people in the sport, right?
The phrase scientific board for people to do averages. because the science was involved in deciding that the women's weight classes should go 45, 49, 55, 59. So to have these bigger to smaller to bigger increases,
I don't think you understand.
Smaller increases, then bigger increases, then biggest increases.
I don't think you understand the importance of having a scientific board, right? If you have the most complicated sport, the most complicated qualification system in the world, you need somebody to understand that. So you need a scientific board, you're going to need some kind of accounting, logistical, Robey points, management, a Robey Points National or Federal Reserve for Robey Points.
A Robeyologist.
They bring them in. There's an interest rate on the Robey Points as they go up every year. So scientific board is necessary for
this Alan Greenspan of Robey Points.
The Alan Greenspan of Robey Points. When you look at U.S. people and they have Robeys that are right around 700 to 800 the top. And then you look and there's Robey Points 1100, 1200 for the record holders. It's very demoralizing, you know? You're like, oh, fuck. This guy's got a shitload of Roy points. If he cashes us in for that fucking big, big stuffed, stuffed tow truck gorilla toy at the arcade, maybe that's what they'll have at the Olympics. A Roby-powered arcade.
Yeah, we're going to forego the medals this year, guys. but you could trade in those Roby points for that sweet Nerf gun.
Yeah, definitely.
Didn't USAW, there was just something USAW was going, you know, kind of going after the IWF for
sport thing. Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was. Phil, it was something about like giving the countries that have a historical record of being clean more voting power, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
And
so, I do think the...
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, the punishment as far as those countries not getting as many Olympic spots, that's
good.
That's good.
That's a good thing.
Giving those countries less voting power could have avoided this alleged Qatar situation, maybe.
Yeah.
Now, what we don't know with the number of spots reduction thing is how it all relates to this fucking qualification system.
Right.
Because, like, in Alyssa's class, Alyssa's 11th.
Yeah.
But there's two China and two Thailand.
Right.
So do only one of them count? Because you can only take one per country per class maximum. If China decides not to take any of their 49s, then do both of them get taken out of the rankings?
Right. And, well, that's a question, right?
Yeah. That no one seems to have the answer for.
Yeah, and I have never heard a definitive answer anywhere to the sense, you know, to really state that, like, hey, this is exactly how it works.
Yeah.
Because if that was the case, taking them both out, you'd have to know who they were sending, and you won't know that until the fucking technical meeting, basically, at the Olympics, or maybe, I guess, the entry, right? You're going to have an alternate.
Yeah, I wonder, because if they don't take them out of the rankings, then in that case, their continental championship stuff aside, there would only be six women eligible in the 49 kilo class, because you have to be top eight.
Right.
But two of the top eight aren't eligible because they're the second people in their countries.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It's a mystery. It's a quagmire. Yeah. The quagmire of qualifying.
I mean, resetting the weight classes, good.
Yeah.
To reset the records, that's great. New Olympic qualification system that punishes countries with historical doping issues, good.
Yeah.
The actual implementation of both of those, terrible.
Very bad.
And that's the story of international governing bodies. There was a decision to make and they made the wrong one.
Yeah. This is a standard operation.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of...
What's the shittiest choice we can make? Let's do that.
That's why I've become reticent to even give advice, like give our own suggestions on these things, because...
You know they're not taking it, right?
Yeah, I'm convinced that they'll be like, oh, no, we can't do what those juggernaut guys say. So we've steered... So we need to start saying all the bad options, so they're only left with good options.
It's not a bad idea. So,
IPF got its fair share of
issues
this year.
That was fucking terrible.
My homie, Robert Wilkes, the Sperry hater.
Oh, yeah. He had a big thing against your non-athletic, non-sportswear.
Marissa was telling me that there's more specific language.
It changed it.
Yeah.
They specifically say no water sports apparel.
It does say something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I gotta look up the exact wording, because it's clearly the CWS rule. But yeah, between Powerlifting Australia trying to sue the IPF or whatever they're doing, then getting kicked out, then him starting their own federation, then the USAPL shit with the drug testing.
Right.
The stuff Kim Walford getting suspended, that was total bullshit. There was a lot of...
They suspended her because she participated in a different meet? Or what was the actual reason for suspension?
There was a 10 itemized list in an email that she showed me. I don't remember all of them, but most of them were, it wasn't doping, it wasn't anything like that.
Sure.
It was like, I mean, one of the specific items said sharing a podcast, a slanderous podcast about the USAPL. I wonder what podcast that was.
It should have said a slanderous 5-star podcast.
But yeah, it was pretty much all like conduct related stuff. And basically, we don't want you here, so we're just going to make up things until you can't be here.
In both sports, it's two sports that are so unnecessary to even have any kind of governing body outside of administrative stuff.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you have some administrators, people that can organize events, that's all you need. The rules are written down. Here's how you qualify, numbers, percentages, boom, 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 straightforward. But it's like both these sports.
Well, in the organizing events, Worlds.
Yeah.
We were there in Canada.
Yeah.
Canadian guy set up that.
Yeah.
That sweet setup in the
volleyball center.
Yeah, in half of a volleyball center.
Half. Well, yeah.
14-year-olds were practicing.
Yeah. So I mean, like that's the thing. Where it's like.
I think that was a side out A.
Side out. That's the kind of thing where it's like
we should have shown up over on that side with some
short shorts,
some cut off jean shorts, aviator sunglasses,
sick mullets.
You guys ready to play?
I'm from Calgary. That'd been fucking cool. Yeah.
How about first to 11? Then losing hosers have to buy maple syrup for everyone
for a week.
Yeah.
That's 2 gallons.
But yeah, it's not like they have some fucking event committee that set up that.
But I mean, even like all that stuff aside, right? The whole organization could be simplified. It could be both sports. So the fact that there's just these like people with these jobs and these boards and all this stuff, it just gets bigger and bigger. And then I'm assuming they just have nothing else to do with their lives. That they start to create these fucking problems and have issues with people and like this and that. Like there's so many ways to avoid that kind of shit. By just nixing people that are, if you've got athletes or if there's a conflict of interest at some point, like this person's gonna break your records, you're off. You can't be there. Because clearly you have some vested interest in the situation, right? Yeah. Not saying that someone there is gonna lose his records, but it's stupid.
And the whole voting structure of stuff and the terms and...
the voting thing is awesome. I didn't know about
this. It's a non-profit, but is it really the tax record stuff?
Yeah.
And I mean that stuff's not the story. We've talked plenty about that before, but it is a system that seems to lend itself to corruption. I mean, I don't know how long Gaston has been in charge at the IPF, and the way that these executive committee meetings are at like Tuesday night at Equipped Nationals for USAPL.
Yeah.
When no one is there.
Equipped Nationals has been in a city that doesn't have flights in, like the 3 days before for the last 15 years or something.
Yeah.
Every time I hear the name Gaston, too, I just think about the Beauty and the Beast cartoon. I always think that's exactly how he looks, but I'm pretty sure that's not accurate.
I'd say the exact opposite of how he looks. There's no way that Gaston from Beauty and the Beast was passing a WADA level drug test.
No. He was taking a lot of Tren.
Yeah.
For sure. He was fucking jacked.
He was.
But the Beast, I mean, what the fuck was he doing?
That's more of a gene doping thing, though. I don't think they have a way to test for that.
That's true. But then what was fucking Candlestick and all that shit going on? That's like more LSD. That's more gene doping.
Sorry, a DMT LSD. I gotta get Joe Rogan on to figure that out. But yeah, the stuff. And we commended the USAPL on the drug testing side of things, but
yeah,
but there's definitely
it's petty. It's just petty shit. Unless someone's violated the spirit of the rules by cheating, by circumventing the actual process in a way that's clearly devious.
Reach around.
Yeah, the old reach around and grab your medal or your spot in the team some way. Like, then like what? You're just using these code of conduct things to really like Yeah. Enforce your will on them.
And the stuff that happened this year for USAPL, IPF, maybe it didn't manifest itself in really significant changes, but it did maybe lay a groundwork for 2019 and 2020. You know, if this drug testing thing with the USAPL doesn't get sorted out, like, rightfully so, the USAPL shouldn't back down on that.
That's true. Yeah.
They're trying to test more people and catch more people, and that's the whole spirit of the the thing. Are they going about it by the letter of the law? I guess not. But I don't think that there's necessarily corruption in it. It maybe could open itself up to that.
Yeah. I don't see how the IPF can tell the USAPL who they can and cannot allow in their competitions, right? If you fail somebody, you do a test, you fail someone, they're banned from your federation.
Yeah.
Right? Because the IPF, and I obviously don't know enough to have this opinion, but I'm going to anyways. The IPF,
how American of you?
How are they able to control what the USAPL does within its own governing, under its own governing body, right? We just send to the IPF our own lifters. We say them, you know, here we're going to Worlds, this is the team, right? None of them have violated your rules, right? Because you could say, well, they violated our rules. I mean, if you have, there's rules that are slightly different in the USAPL, I'm sure, than the IPF, right? There's probably some small difference in conduct or whatever, or, you know, maybe in some Muslim country in that federation, you're not allowed to have alcohol at the venue, right? So people have alcohol here. It's like, so the question is, like, if there's subtle violations like that, then how can you say you're not kicking these people out or not saying, hey, that guy's not booted out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bigger than that, obviously, but definitely like one of those things that's like, it's just another standard giant crappy organization making bad choices.
It can definitely be a big thing for powerlifting if the pushback continues.
Yeah.
And the Wilkes stuff and PA, yeah, I probably have a biased opinion against that since he tried to get me kicked out for my shoes. And so many of the Australian people I know, you know, going over to compete in Pro Raw and all that kind of stuff, they make it sound like Wilkes was doing all the same shit in PA that he's accusing the IPF of doing.
Oh, really?
But just now that there's people, whether it's Robert Wilkes or whether even it's the USAPL now with the drug testing stuff, who are willing to push back against the IPF.
Yeah.
And as there's backlash about the equipment fees and all this shit, then maybe, you know, not right now, but it's a change could be coming for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Regardless of the politics of that stuff, I mean, when we were at Worlds this year, the results were phenomenal.
Yeah.
From the Nationals results, like, just the... When did you do your first powerlifting meet? What year?
2011? 10? 10 or 11.
And what was the squat we were talking about from the 59 guy?
560. 560.
And were there multiply guys squatting 560 at...
Not the first meet I did.
At 132?
I squatted 600 and I beat a couple of multiply guys.
Yeah, I mean, the level that the powerlifting results have continued to go.
It's unreal.
It was crazy. I got looking on Open Powerlifting last night. Prior to 2018, there had been 19 total 600-plus Wilks in the history of the sport.
Oh, their entire history.
In the entire history of the sport. 19 600 plus Wilks. And 14 of those had been done by three people. Gus Bayar, Mariana Gus Bayar, Eric Littlebridge, and Andre Milanchev had 14 of those 19. This year, 17 different people made 25 total 600 plus Wilks.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane to think that explosion of lifting. That's huge.
Yeah. There's over twice as many people as had ever done it 600 Wilks before.
Yeah.
Did that. And more than in the previous.
Six times as many people doing it too, right? There was three that did most of them, I guess more than that.
Well, there's three that had done 14 of the 19.
Right.
But there was eight total people who had done those 19.
Right.
And this year there were 17 people who did 25.
Jeez.
Nine guys who squatted 455 or more, which it wasn't. It was
9,000 pound squats.
Yeah. I was at the 2011 SPF Ironman Pro-Am days in ballroom C at Knoxville, Tennessee.
There you go.
Where Robert Wilkerson, March 2011, became the first person to squat 1,000 raw.
Yeah.
I mean, that's under 455 kilos, but.
Yeah.
But so it was only 7 years ago that it was the first time it had happened. And then Milanichev did 1,014 in like 2014.
Right.
He did 1,014, and that was the first time, that was when the 2,369 total record got broken. Like 10 people have done over that total now.
That's insane. The question then becomes like, what's it going to look like in a couple of years? Yeah, 30 people doing 60, you know, 40 people doing those Wilks like that.
Yeah,
so it's big.
Nine guys squatted 455 plus, 37 guys 272 plus kilo bench, 600 plus bench. 17 men did over 400 kilo deadlift.
17 guys pulled 400 or
17
more.
Different guys.
That's really big.
And 55 guys did over 1,000 kilo total.
I remember.
Including Luke Richardson, who was the youngest ever to do 1,000 kilos and did it in sleeves and in the IPF. I think he's 21 or 22.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Shit. I remember first seeing results for the number of 900 pound deadlifters. And I remember back, you know, 8 years ago, it was about like 12 or 13 ever
yeah.
had done it. And now it's like, you know, you got how many guys pulling 400?
17 different ones this year.
I mean, that's ridiculous in 1 year. Holy shit. Yeah, well, that's an explosion. I wonder how obvious that is. I mean, you can tell it's going up. It's huge. But it's funny because I wouldn't say in this year there was any one particular performance. Like last year, there was huge people coming out that did numbers that were out of this world. And now it seems like the average has just climbed up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The quality of lifting is just escalating this year. So I guess next year we'll see, right?
Yeah.
Potentially giant numbers might spring out of that or.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's kind of like what we were talking about before. It's people getting caught up in the momentum of training and it can't quite translate to the competition. But when you have the Amanda Lawrences of the world and Larry Wheels and stuff, and it's like every single week you just PR, big numbers, PR.
Yeah.
It's only, and on the women's side, like in the IPF, where I still think the best women's lifting
absolutely
happens in the IPF, you know. Yeah, this CeCe Holcomb, Gus Bayara, Steffi Cohen, Stacey Burr.
Yeah.
There are a couple of the untested women who even stay untested but follow the same.
Sure.
The rest of the USAPL rules. Three. CeCe for sure is just ridiculous, but the other ones, I think they'd really have their hands full.
Yeah.
Lifting in that format. So the first, Jen Thompson was the first woman ever to make a 500 Wilks. And that was
Holy
like
shit,
2011.
Really? Wow.
Maybe the first 500 in USAPL IPF.
Yeah.
And that happened in like 2011. And this year, I mean, granted, Marissa didn't have like her best meet at Nationals, but she still made like a 520 Wilkes, and it was seventh highest, something like that, sixth or seventh highest.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous. And it's that level of lifting is just so absurd how quickly it's come up.
Yeah, and it's happening by 21-year-olds and 22-year-olds. And
it makes you wonder where the limit of the strength, like the limit of people's potential is with that sport. I mean,
yeah.
You know, obviously they're going to be, it's more than it is now, but the question becomes like, you know, where is that going to go? Are we going to start seeing like, is there going to be someone with 700 Wilkes? I mean, it seems unreal, but I guess you're not seeing that in untested, so potentially not, but maybe it's just not the right person, right? You get the fucking freakiest human being that's ever tried powerlifting. And
so, well, it's like we were talking about an Ed Cohen for every weight class.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that.
Yeah.
CeCe Holcomb is 22 or 23 years old.
God.
She might only be 21.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
21 years old?
Yeah, she's definitely somewhere in the 21 to 23 years old. And
that's just outrageously strong.
I think she did like a 640 something Wilkes.
That was like Cohen's is probably only about 650, I'm guessing.
Yeah, 650, 660.
Something like that. I mean, yeah. That's fucking up there.
But I also, Wilkes is getting so many shout outs in this, but.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, the IPF is doing away with Wilkes.
They're going to Robies.
They're
moving to Robies.
Rubies.
Point. Rubies.
It's how many rubies you bring to the judges, and that's how you
win. That's how the points you get.
Yeah.
How great would it be if they came out with ruby points, and they just said, we're adopting the system?
Yeah.
No one actually knew how good they were, because it's impossible to figure it out.
I don't know if they're going to do some kind of allometric scaling.
Who will it be named after is the real question.
Yeah,
who's the scientist, mathematician, wizard that's created the ultimate way to compare will it compare... It'll compare both genders, but this one it will compare men, women, anyone who lifts weights, and other species, dogs. If a dog pulls a sled certain speed, you can calculate that somehow. It's the ultimate comparison.
Interspecies, that is. Then, I mean, gorillas have never even... done.
We would lose.
They've never even done starting strength, so how strong could they actually be?
They would probably be good at deadlifting. They have such fucking long arms.
I think, yeah.
Killing the deadlift, probably squat a shitload because of their legs, short legs. But I mean, bench pressing, they got such fucking big ass arms, so.
Yeah, Ed Cohen was just a
Ed Cohen shaved, was a gorilla.
Yeah, shaved albino gorilla.
It was a gorilla wearing a man suit. That's what it was. Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah, I think it was another good, interesting year of lifting.
Yeah, big numbers. Everything's coming up.
Do you have any big predictions for 2019?
2019? I think 2019 is going to be a really interesting year for weightlifting. I think it'll be a really definitive... I really hope that in 1 year time, we're not sitting here talking about weightlifting being expunged from the Olympics program. So that would be my biggest fear, not so prediction, because I don't think it'll happen, but... the potential for that, you know, if the other countries just don't get their shit together, or if the IWF gets their shit together and says, hey, you're just done. You're out, right? Like,
yeah.
You couldn't play by the rules forever. We gave you plenty of chances, and it's just a different breed of people now. It's a different generation. They don't want this.
Yeah.
You know?
We will know a lot more for sure by this time next year. I mean...
we could be sitting here talking about Ilya Illin doing a 255 clean and jerk.
We could be.
As a 109. I mean, that'd be cool, but it would also suck because it's kind of like signing the death note of weightlifting.
Yeah, because you know, we talked about how much the Russian results were down.
Yeah.
And you know, 6 months ago, if you had asked me, I would have said like they just refused to follow the rules. But at least this year's Worlds, they seem to follow them. But as the Olympics get closer, maybe that...
I think they're trying to play a game because there was at the Worlds... there was a lifter who made a lift that seemingly was good, and the Russian like president of the federation, I believe, or the head coach, didn't even contest to the jury. And Klokov made a big post about it the other day about like kind of like what, you know, what's this? Like you're not even supporting the athletes kind of. And I think that may just be their sort of like submissive, like, we're just gonna play by the rules, don't kick us out, you know? Uh-huh. And that may just be their, you know, the plan is to do that so we can get back in, and then we're gonna, you know, then once we're in, it's like, hey, let's, you know, where's the good stuff?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
The day they walk into the training, the competition hall in Tokyo, and you just hear the guy shout, let's burn this mother down!
In Russian.
Yeah, and then just start injecting.
The coach will open like a duffel bag, just like 300 vials and syringes, just throwing them in the air like confetti.
Yeah.
It'll be like the scene in the Tim Burton Batman where the Joker's throwing money out of the car as the coach is just driving through on a golf cart. Yeah.
Yeah, the I think for sure first 1,000-pound squat, 900-pound deadlift combo happens.
Didn't that just happen?
No.
He didn't do 1,000. Right.
Yeah. And there's been so many times where people were like, oh,
close.
It's right there.
Right.
You know, who is the first to do it? We'll see. I mean, there's been guys who are capable.
Absolutely.
Of doing it. You know, if Milanichev could be healthy, he can probably be the first to do it. Brandon could do it.
Yeah.
Eric Lillibridge could do it.
Brandon actually would be, to see Brandon do that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. It.
He's as close as anyone else.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The squat maybe.
He's done the squat, but he hasn't held on to the deadlift all the way to the top. But I would think, and maybe this is, you know, the same thing. I would think it would be whoever has the first attempt at a 900-pound deadlift at the U.S. Open could be the person to do it.
True.
You know, because they could have already squatted 1,000, so
right.
They can pull, you know, you get the right lot number and you're pulling 903. Yeah. Before someone else is trying 903, then you get to be
first
one.
I wonder if Thor cares about that kind of thing. I'd really be curious to see what Thor's opinion is of this whole thing after he's done it. I mean, not from a standpoint of like, what do you think of powerlifting, but like, does he have any interest in trying again to set some kind of record for history? Or
I would think, I mean, not that I've ever met the guy, but you don't become that incredibly strong and successful in your field without being hugely competitive.
Yeah.
And he probably right now thinks I could have done better.
Yeah.
You know? And he could have done better. Like the squat looked good. I was surprised. I was surprised that 460 didn't count. I guess I'm glad in some way that they're being very strict, because it would have been, you know, at the Thor Power Weekend, easy thing to just give Thor whites. But they didn't do that, so I commend them on that for sure. But as a competitor, he's got to be feeling right now like I could do more.
I could see that, yeah.
And
well, the question is, what does he do about it, you know?
Yeah.
Does he care enough to one more meet?
Yeah, it's not what's paying his bills.
No.
And he's got to fit it around the strongman schedule. But, you know, next October, Big Dogs 4.
That'd be kind of cool.
He could be there going for it and setting a new total world record. But yeah, I think that'll happen this year for sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, some of these, the landmark, these different kind of landmark weights for women's powerlifting.
Yeah.
Like 600-pound squats. You know, Amanda Lawrence definitely looks like she's going to be joining that club, if not at the Arnold, at next year's Nationals.
Yeah.
And as many people on Instagram want to be like, oh, she's the best female lifter, you know, in the world. She's the strongest woman in the world kind of thing. Like, and not to take anything away from her. She's amazing.
Yeah.
But like, Nationals wasn't that long ago and she didn't win, you know.
That's true.
And Daniela Mello's the same age, or they're, you know, they're 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
So the class of women's lifting is just going to keep rising. I think, you know, you're going to have more girls squatting 500 plus, deadlifting 500 plus, benching in the threes. And weightlifting, this will be
same thing basically. You got seven girls all fighting for that potential spot at the Olympics. It's going to drive, it'll either drive results way up for all of them, which would be the best case, or, you know, one or two of them will excel from that competition and yeah. kind of take it and run with it. But I yeah. mean that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, definitely at this point next year, we'll, I figure we'll know at least two female Olympians almost certainly.
For sure.
Because they'll have been through probably five of their six needed IWF level meets.
Yeah.
Like it'll just be those, that log jam of girls fighting for the spot at 76.
Yeah.
Who are still battling it out down to the last meet.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It'd be interesting for sure. I mean, it's going to be one of those years of really tight, aggressive competition on both sports where I don't think you're going to have one person or a couple, like, single person rise up out of it like we saw, like, in the last year or so, mm-hmm. like, where, like, Milanovic was so dominant that a bunch of guys catch up to him, kind of. And then same thing now, right? Everyone's kind of even. There's some dominant people, but, you know, we'll see some great competition rise. We have a bunch of people catch up to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very impressive.
Lifting.
Yeah.
What a thing. Any Max Ada squat predictions for 2020? 2019?
Probably not much.
Should take 2019 off, skip to 2020.
Take a year, deload for 2019, come back 2020, super compensate. No one's ever tried that. The deload super hard and huge results.
It's a possibility.
I've seen graphs and charts, but I've never seen a chart that goes down that far. Complete bedridden. I'll be bedridden for all of 2019 in order to facilitate this incredible super compensation.